Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to look at just a little piece of a prayer that Jesus offered to the Father. And it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we're going to look at this because there's a few things in here for you and I in his talk with his Father in heaven. So, Lord, give us ears. Give me ears to hear what you're saying to me, to us. So, verse 6 of John 17. Okay, this is a chapter where Jesus is praying. He's talking to the Father. He prays for his disciples. Just you can go through it another time, but this is what I want us to grab our attention today. So the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 6, it says, Jesus praying now, talking to his Father. He says, "I have revealed you." Now, there Jesus came, right? He taught. He healed. He did the work of the kingdom of God. And he says to the Father, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world, who you gave me out of the world." In other words, they were here and they have come out from the way of the world, okay? Lord, you gave them to me. Now I want to pause here because this is a little side note. I want you to see that there is divine initiative here. The Father in heaven took initiative by sending Jesus to reveal to people through the life of his Son what the Father is like and that he has redemption in mind for you and that he has a specific plan for our lives. So there's divine initiative revealed in this prayer of Jesus where he says, "I have come, I've revealed you to those who you have given me out of the world." He's taken an initiative. See, if you're here, he has taken an initiative behind the scenes of your life to bring you, to draw you, okay, to him. Listen, I want you to know, there is not enough goodness in me or in you alone or anybody to just come to God on our own. He has to draw us. He has taken divine initiative. You know, humanity was lost. And he sent his Son to come and find them and redeem them. This was his idea. And it didn't just stay as an idea. He manifested and put this plan into action. There is divine initiative. "I'm going to send you, Son, reveal who I am to people because they need to be found, and I love them, and I've got a plan for them. I have words to give them, words of life, because sin has made life really hard for them, and I don't want it to separate us anymore." So this is filled with divine initiative, just this little part of this prayer. "I have revealed you, Father, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." Say it, obeyed your word. They have obeyed your word. "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them." They accepted those words. Not like the Pharisees, right? Not like those when you read through the gospel who didn't receive his word. They didn't accept it. "You, Lord, these you've given me, they have accepted your word. They have accepted the fact that I have come from you." what I have said and done here that reveals you, they, through the work of your Spirit in them, they have come to a place to recognize that I am from you. See, this speaks of God's initiative. It speaks of Jesus' divinity. He is the Son of God. This prayer, he's talking with the Father, for I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed. Say it, believed. You sent me. There's a few important things that I just kind of read to us. I want to highlight them very quick. They accepted Jesus' teaching. It's a question for us. Do I accept Jesus' teaching? Do I accept it? Do I accept it? And the beauty, this is, let me just tell you how something works here. You know, before we accept the words of God, we sometimes come with a lot of questions about God. Questions about eternity, questions about God, and what if, and if he was a loving God. And you know, we ask a lot of these deep things that we'd really like to know. I want to tell you, the way to get the answers to those things is to first accept the things that Jesus says, because what happens, this is a process, what happens is when we begin to accept the things that Jesus says, it expresses this gratitude. Do you know what gratitude does? It becomes the seeds of receiving more revelation. So when we begin to accept the words of Jesus, it begins to lead us along in deeper understanding and growing in knowledge of him. We want to jump down here and get all this stuff. Let's start at the basics. And let's show a faithfulness of the seeds of accepting what Jesus teaches and allow him to continue to build that, and we grow in the grace and knowledge along the way. Hebrews talks about, in chapter 5, it talks about, in verse 12, it talks about having baby food. We had four children, still have four children. But, you know, when they were babies, you know, I'm a meat eater. I'm a carnivore. Okay? I do eat vegetables. Not a lot. Should eat more. Anyhow, apart from my personal diet. I did not start cooking them steaks. They had to have milk. Mom's milk and some formula. Baby stuff, right? It's where it starts. And he talks about God's word, and the beginning things are like milk, and you know, we should progress, because then he starts to talk about the meat, right? You don't start there. We got a lot of meat questions. But you know what? We need to first accept the teachings and the words of Jesus, and I want you to know it will lead us further into the truth and the greater truths and the answers to some of the tougher questions. It's just like growing and developing here physically, relationally, emotionally, all of those things. It's just little bits. It's things that we can digest, things that we can manage, things that will grow us. Jesus' teaching, accepting it, you know, 2 Peter talks about it. We desire milk, but it progresses, right? You're not still on mom's milk, or you're not on formula. We have graduated to ribeyes. I should not talk about food when it's getting close to lunch. Not so much for your sake, but for mine. Okay? Accepting the teaching of Jesus, it's a starting place for us. But it's also a continued principle as we grow in our faith. Do we accept his word? As things get a little tougher to chew on, some difficult teachings, things that go further and further against our flesh and our personal desires and personal opinions and personal feelings. It's a principle of progression that we have to hang on to throughout our Christian life and Christian walk. This is not just for babes accepting the teaching of Jesus. It's where we start, but continue the principle of accepting the Word of God into our life. He says, they've accepted your teaching. Leads to further truth for you and I. Second thing I want to highlight is Jesus' divine origin. In Matthew 16, there's this conversation Jesus has with his disciples and says, you know, the disciples are talking about who people are saying Jesus is, and Jesus says to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter rises up. He says, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is this great declaration. And we know that Jesus says, that wasn't originated in you. That came by revelation of my Father to you, Peter, and it came out of his mouth. And that is the place where they moved and where they started to live in a declaration of that faith. We've accepted your words, but we also declare and know and are convinced that you are the Son of God. Don't forget that. He's warm and he's kind, but he is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. And he's come to be close to us and rescue us, but he is the Son of the Most High. And don't you let anything, we cannot let anything cause that to be jeopardized. We must receive his word, accept it, and understand and remember who Jesus is, who he has always been, who he is, and who he will forever be. No matter what circumstances or events go on in your life or in this world, he's the Christ.
Amen.
And a big side note, he's coming back.
Amen.
There will be a day where his feet will touch down. It says this. It says that they believed. Now, the kind of believing that produces action. John chapter 20, verse 31. I want to just highlight this a couple of pages over. But John writes, these things have been written. These things have been written that you may read them and believe. That's why it's been written. We would read it and we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you and I may have life in his name. See, the kind of faith that leads to life, a faith that moves us, a faith that has to do with action. You hear this. This is not enough for us to say, I believe in God. Now that's faith. But if that faith does not produce action and responsibility in our life and who we are becoming and how we think and how we make decisions and what we do, okay, that faith, it's dead. Your faith in Christ is justified by the way that you live. It reveals what your faith is like. James writes it and he says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. Don't just hear or listen to God's word, because in doing so, if you just hear it and listen, you will deceive yourself. Just do it. You thought Nike came up with that. This was long before Nike. I don't think they were making sandals back then. Just do it. You read it, depending on the translation. It says, don't be hearers only. You'll deceive yourself, thinking that if I hear it and I kind of believe it, that's good enough. You hear it. You believe it with the kind of faith that produces a transformation in who we are and how we live and make decisions and all those things. It just says, don't deceive yourself. Do it. Just do it. Say it. Just do it. Now put it in the context of his word. Just do it. That got weaker. Accepting his word, remembering that he is divine, and his words are the words of life. And he came to reveal the Father in heaven. And you and I, we're supposed to accept it, believe it with the kind of faith that produces action and transformation in our life. That's for all of us, whether you're at the beginning milk stage or you're already chewing on meat or somewhere in between. That is the principle of our progression in following Christ the rest of our life, is hearing his word and accepting it and doing it. Don't complicate it. It's accepting his word, knowing that he's the Christ. He revealed the Father. Accept the word and believe to the point of doing it. I'm going to go to Genesis for you and for myself. Listen to this. This is where it all went bad. This is where it all went bad for us. Okay? Because you will see that they heard the word of God. They understood it. But they did not do it. Let's learn from history here. Biblical history, because I'll be honest with you, I'm reading from Genesis 2. You can't go back much farther than that. Genesis chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 8 and 9, and I'll jump ahead to 15 and 17. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east part of the Garden of Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, things that were good for food. Now in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, to care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but, say but. But. You ready for the but? Here it is. You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. There's his word. There's the instruction. There's the blessing. And there's the curse if you disobey. Genesis chapter 3, okay? All right, now the woman was made. Don't read into that like it's her fault. And I'll tell you why. Because sin comes through the man, not the woman. That's a whole other teaching, but I'll just tell you. It comes through the man, not the woman. I'm not saying that Eve didn't sin. I'm telling you that sin came through the man, not the woman. So here it is. Adam gave the instruction. Woman was created. She obviously, the news was passed on to her on the instruction because she quotes God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say that we must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden and that we must not touch it or we will die. There's God's word. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. I want you to be very careful when you hear voices that sound good and worldly reasoning that may appeal to you, but it's not God's word, and it's a little off the mark. I don't care how famous the voice is. I don't care how famous the writing is. I don't care if it's the book that's the greatest buzz and the bestseller and all your friends are gobbling it up. You be watchful for the subtleties and the craftiness. And I'm not suggesting to you that the author of whatever book it is necessarily blatantly against God. I'm just telling you to be watchful for the craftiness of the enemy of your soul that will lead you to stray from his word, including the voices that are sometimes from fellow believers, and maybe even within your family. And I'm not suggesting that they have some great ill intent. I'm just telling you that it may not equate accurately the word of God. And if it gets you and I to stray or begin to question God's word, God's instruction, God's commands, and God's suggestions to us, that we better have our little antennas going, woo, whoa, whoa, warning, warning, warning. This is where it all went bad. You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. The serpent says, you'll not surely die. Now, that's not really what God meant. I think you're misinterpreting the word. Oh, God's forgiving. God understands. You can come up with all the phrases you want to soften the look of our disobedience. This isn't like a heaven and hell kind of decision of how I'm supposed to live or act or think. Or I mean, after all, Jesus was kind. Certainly, this can't be that hard of a teaching. So you and I, we need to be very careful about the craftiness and the subtleness, the things that the enemy uses to cause doubt or deviation from God's word in our life. And we are all susceptible to it, including me. Every one of us. I don't care if the letters are before your name or you have letters after your name. We are human. And the enemy is subtle. I mean, these two here, they walked with God in the garden. And yet, this is where it all went bad. Well, you and I learn a principle here. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is what the crafty one said to Eve. When the woman, now pay attention to this. When the woman saw, say saw. Or this part of Wisconsin where you'd say, I seen it. She's seen it. That the fruit of the tree was good for food. Ah, makes sense. And it was pleasing to the eye. I'm wanting this to all sink in for us. And it was also just very desirable. For gaining wisdom. Well, let's justify it. Let's justify it so we can work our way around God's command and make it sound like it's okay. It looks good. It looks good. It is good. It's very desirable. And after all, I could gain some wisdom, or I could gain some money, or I could gain an understanding, or I could gain this, or I could gain that, or I could be more respectable. Or you and I, we can justify it how we want. After all, God wants to bless me. She saw it. The fruit of the tree was good for food, was pleasing to the eye, was also very desirable. And I could use it to gain wisdom. Wisdom's not bad. And she took some and she ate it. And then the only other person she knew, she gave it to. And it all went bad. When you and I look at the Word of God in our life, we look at decisions we make, attitudes we have, things we say or we're about to do. I really would like us to pause in that moment and be able to say, you know, I'm going to go back to Genesis here. And am I falling prey to something? It sounds good. It seems good. The argument seems reasonable. If it leads us astray from His command and His will for us, we better have the warnings go off. And I don't care how good it sounds or how great it looks or how much desire and craving we have for whatever it is. Jesus, when He prayed for His disciples, He was telling the Father, You gave them to Me, they heard Your word, they accepted it, and they believed it. Will you and I, will our belief in God's word be stronger than that which maybe looks desirable that is not acceptable? Or that sounds really good and the reasoning seems to make sense. In fact, they even threw in some scriptures. Well, you and I, we can take just about any scripture and turn it into something it's not. We've done it. See, don't merely listen to it. Let's do it. 1 John chapter 2, 16, verse 16. I want you to listen to what it says. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the things that we own, or the pride of the things we have, or the pride of the things we've accomplished, those don't come from God. The pride of those things, the lust of those things, doesn't come from God. Those things come from the world. Who taught you that the symbol of a Lincoln, though it has a flat tire, who told you that symbol was a symbol of luxury and would impress the rest of the people around the earth? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Lincoln, okay? That's not my point. It's who taught us that that's, you know, better than, well, just the Ford. Chevy, no, GMC. And I'm not saying having any of those things are wrong. I just want you to understand the concept that the behind the symbols of things, right? Now, I'm not against symbols. I own some things that have symbols on them. That's not what I'm talking about here. That you can't have something with a, you know, iconic label on it. What I'm talking about is the pride of life that can come along with it or fuel us to have it, that may be acceptable and may not be. If pride of life is involved, that's an issue within us. It doesn't make the object wrong. It makes something wrong in here, right? Right? Say yes. Lust of the eyes. It looks good. Lust of the flesh. It is desirable. The pride of life, oh, if I could have that or accomplish that or do that or own that. Those things will lead us outside and out of bounds from His Word. Now, you can have a Lincoln and whatever else and be well within the confines of God's Word, because the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life was not a fueling factor. Why don't you stand up with me, please? Let's accept the teaching of Jesus, the full teaching of God's Word. Remember that our Master, His origin was in heaven before creation. He was a part of creation. He came to redeem creation. He ascended to the right hand of God. He's talking to the Father about us. He's still doing John 17. Interceding for His people. Will you accept His Word, remember who He is, and will you believe to the point that it directs your life? Now, you and I don't get derailed or fall prey to something outside of His design for us, managing what's in here. Will we learn from history to obey His Word? It'll be tested in our life. We're going to be tested in these things. I don't need a billboard or a commercial or a ad. Is that what those are called when you're online and you're looking at something, they run these ads on the site? Is that what it's called, an ad? Or does that have a specific word for that? Whatever it is. Looks like an ad to me. Okay. I don't need any of that stuff to tempt. See, evil comes from within. They can suggest all they want, but I don't even need their suggestions. I don't need their suggestions to have the pride of life or lust of the flesh or, you know, lust of the eyes. I mean, part of that, you don't even have to see a billboard. It's what you picture in your mind. I mean, listen to this. There will be critics when you obey this. There's going to be critics. Might mock you, might make fun of you. Might want to argue with you. Even another believer. Why don't you listen to this? This is from His Word. 1 Peter chapter 2. Why don't you listen to this in closing? For it is God's will that by doing good, doing this. For it is God's will that by doing good, you will silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Don't worry about the criticism. Don't worry about the mocking. Sounds like stuff that Jesus went through. That stuff happens because of the Word of God. Man, it is a surefire sign that you're following the Master. Okay? We're not trying to pick a fight. We're just following Him. And if you do good, which is God's will, it will be used to send a message that following God and doing what's good will silence the mouth of critics and the folly of their thinking. So don't worry about it. You follow Jesus, your good life following Him, it'll take care of all of that. It will take care of all of that. You don't need their approval. We are workmen who are approved because we know His Word. And we don't just say, yeah, I believe it. Our life backs it up. So don't compromise this. This is life to you. These are the words of life. Okay? Hard teachings came, and Jesus said, as he's watching disciples, followers leave, he looks at his disciples and says, are you going to leave me too? What's he say? What's the disciples say? Lord, where are we going to go? You alone hold the words of life. Where are we going to go? This is your word. Some of these things you say to me are actually to protect me. So, you know, stop following the ways of the world. Stop following what you think is best because you were hurt in your past and now you've got this new line of truth. Hey, man, stop having sex outside of marriage. It's for your good. Wait. Honor him. Don't steal. Protect you, not just from the penitentiary. Don't murder. Don't gossip. You're going to destroy your life and other people's lives around you. Don't do it. Right? Tithe. Honor the Lord. We're not supposed to test God, but he opens himself and says, you can test me this. If you give 10% of your income, he says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And this is about the church needing your money. This is about us being a healthy church that we get to go before him. And, you know, if he writes a letter to us like in Revelation, he says, hey, I am pleased with this about you. And that we don't get to the point where he says, but I have this against you. No. See, right? Take care of widows. Take care of your own family so that you're not a burden to the church. This is filled with great words of life. Right? Yeah. Let's learn something from history. We don't need to add any more trouble to our days. And disobedience will do it. When you stumble, when you fall, James says, pray. Go to him. So, there it is. Accept his word. And let it bring change in us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.